Jumpman, a podcast featuring platformers that have scrolled through the hearts and minds of all you jump people. And now with your hosts.
Welcome to Jumpman. My name is Junie Valentin.
And my name is Tom Bishop.
And this is episode one, the platform special. Basically, Obi-Wan once told me that, why, my dear Chancellor, platforms are our speciality.
Yes, so both of us love platformers, and we definitely want to talk about them.
All right. So, Tom, why don't you tell the listeners that hopefully are listening to this on why we call ourselves Jumpmen?
Sure. So the name Jumpmen, we pulled it from originally an arcade game that moved to Atari. Most people know it, Donkey Kong. Originally, Mario's first name was Jumpman. Before they changed it to Mario.
Yeah, that's right.
Jumpman actually had his own video game, which was a game about defusing bombs. It was it was kind of interesting. I've never actually played it.
Is that like Wrecking Crew? I don't understand.
It was like a two-tone game. The background was black. The bunch of platforms were green, and Jumpman would go around, and you had like a timer, and you had to defuse all the bombs within a time.
So you're saying that Miyamoto made this game first? Was this like Mario's first introduction, or
that's a good question. I did not actually look up who made the first Jumpman, because okay. I don't think it was actually an arcade game. I'm not sure if it was just like a demo. But yeah, it was definitely Jumpman had his own video game before mm-hmm. his debut in Donkey Kong. Okay. And then so Jumpman, we took it from Donkey Kong, and there's two of us, so we changed it to Jumpman,
right.
And we both love platformers,
yes.
And we just love talking about them and playing them, especially the classics, so that's why we're called the Jumpman.
Yeah, so basically our show, we're going to be focusing on the classic side-scrolling platformer, hence the name Jumpman. So if you're into the Marios, the Castlevanias, the Mega Mans, all that stuff, we're going to be discussing that. And we basically have a format we're going to try and follow. You know, some shows give you just the music. I listen to a couple podcasts like that myself. Just the music, which is great. Some shows give you just the game. We're going to give you, like, everything. We're going to try and do, like the music, the game. Like, we're going to break down, like, you know, boss battles, graphics, like... the deep, very, very deep series coverage on the game. So that's, I listen to a lot of podcasts. That's kind of like how I want the show to go. I kind of want it to be an amalgamation of like all the different shows that I've listened to in the past, but I try and make them into one cohesive show. I don't know if you get my meaning on that.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. And just for everybody listening, I want to point out that, too, I'm big on game mechanics. So when we talk about deep coverage, like, I'm not just talking about boss mechanics or mini-bosses or anything. Like, I love to see the individual design decisions on, like, minions jumping and how they're allowed to jump and which ways they're allowed to shoot and,
when
you see them in a stage. So it's going to be, like, really super in-depth coverage on all
Tom's
the little
Tom's our tech guy.
Decisions.
Tom's a tech guy. He's gonna break it down for you technically.
So.
Mechanically and technically,
yeah.
I'm more the art guy. Like, I love the art. I'll break down, game covers, like that horrendous Mega Man 1 game cover. We'll talk about that. But But I mean, we'll break down all that, and the graphic wise and all that. I love that stuff about it. So colors, graphics, sound, that kind of stuff. I love that stuff. So I'll be more than willing to talk about that stuff. So you want to get right into it. I mean, first get right into what our first show is going to be about?
Definitely. So the next thing we're going to talk about is like platformers in general, the history of them, what they are, that kind of thing.
Historical background.
So I'll jump right in. So platformers, just to clarify everybody, is basically any game where the primary mechanic of the game is to jump. Again, linking back to the Jumpman, that's why our name is that way. And to jump from platform to platform. Now, to clarify, this could be a wide variety of games because there are a lot of 3D platforms nowadays, the newer games. Our particular show is going to focus on the side-scrolling platformers, mainly the classics. So okay. Games like Mario, Mega Man, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
Ice Climbers, Kid Icarus, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the ones we all know and love. The different types of eras that the platformers came out in, like the history, you know, like the 8-bit, the 16-bit, the 32-bit. We're probably going to get started more in the 8-bit era, like the NES, you know, the Master System. Those are the only two real big ones back then. I mean, Atari ColecoVision came before that. So that's where we're going to put our main focus at in the beginning. And then we will go into 16-bit, the 16-bit era, and then possibly the 32-bit era, PlayStation, you know, Saturn, today. You know, today's probably even more than that, but, you know. So, types of games, side-scrolling, platformers. No real top-down? Do you want to do top-down?
No, probably not. We're probably not going to do top-down.
We're going to stick to like games like, you know, strictly Castlevania, Mega Man, Contra,
yeah,
things like that.
Because a lot of the top-down games turn out to be like the jumping mechanic is so different than what we're going to be focusing on. And a lot of the top-down games, like, you know, you take Zelda, and okay, so Zelda's got platforms, obviously, the 3D version has, well, I mean, I think the older versions have it too, but like they have a platform, but the jumping in like the newer Zeldas is like automated. You run up to a platform and he just jumps over for you. So
right. There's no button press involved there. Yeah, that's right.
Right, right. So we're gonna obviously stray far away from that. It's not actually a platformer in that sense. The other note here is we're gonna kind of skip the arcade era in that sense. I mean, we may come back to it eventually, but like Junie said, we're gonna focus on the NES first and work our way forward from there. And then if we want to, we can always go back to arcade and talk about those. But for the most part, we're jumping into, you know, in-home systems.
Consoles?
Yeah.
History of games. I got a fun question for you.
Okay.
Maybe we can tackle this one real quick while we wrap up this this segment. So everybody knows that in Mario and Super Mario Brothers, one of the first enemies that you see in World 1-1 is the Goomba. So, do we think, or I'm asking you, Tom, do you think that the Goomba is the weakest enemy in video game platformer history? Or is there a weaker one?
Sure. So, this is a fantastic question I'm glad you brought here today. Before I get into whether I think he is the weakest enemy, I do want to point out that, you know, I saw this inspirational thing on the internet once that in terms of if you feel like you're not making a difference in the world, remember that World 1-1 Goomba is the most killed enemy in any video game ever. So, in terms of like the Goomba and his worth, the Goomba is worth a lot because without him, I mean, so many people, we're talking 32 million plus people have purchased and played, or, you know, purchased, let alone the number of people that have played the original Super Mario Brothers, and that first Goomba that gets stomped on is the most killed
enemy.
Oh, man,
how satisfying it is to stomp that first Goomba. You know, you just jump up, and it's like, you just hear that little, you know.
Right, right.
That little stomp sound effect, and, like, it's just satisfying. You're like, all right, here we go. Like, I can do this, you
right,
know?
Right, right. But the thing is, the Goomba can still kill you.
Yes, he can. So, I've been killed by that Goomba.
Yes.
I've been killed by... No, yep. I'm ashamed to admit it, but I've been killed by that Goomba.
That's right.
And you know you have too out there. You know, don't... hey, you could say that you didn't. I've never got killed by that Goomba. Yes, you did. At some point in time in your life, if you have played a Mario game, the Goomba has killed you. Okay?
Yep.
I don't care if it's Mario 1, 2... No, 2 didn't have Goombas. 3... With the little Goombas with wings.
Yep.
You know?
That's right. The ones with the wings.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah. I remember in the first world, you know, after you get past the first little area there, you try to make that running jump so you can fly up. And who's there? That little red Goomba with wings. That thing got me a couple times.
That's
you
right.
Know what I mean?
That one got me too. Yeah. I remember my mom always tells me this story about when I was a kid, when I first started playing video games. You know, I used to watch my dad play a lot and, you know, dads, they do this, they give the kid a controller and let him think he's playing, right? So when my dad was at work or whatnot, my mom would let me actually play, so it would be plugged in and everything, and I died to that Goomba so many times. She said I would sit there for hours, and I would just start the game, okay, and I'd run into that Goomba. So yeah, so I was 3 years old. I died to it quite a bit.
Yeah, but you were three. I mean, I was like, you know, in my teens, you know, and still, you know, I died, you know, it's or whatever. You know what I mean? That's you got an excuse. I don't.
Yeah, I'm sure I died to it later on too, though. Yeah, absolutely. It's a hard Goomba.
All right, so we're gonna segue into our next segment, which is a little bit of nostalgia.
It's the nostalgia factor. It just is.
Our next segment is going to be it's called Nostalgia Factor, and basically, you know, we all love these games. We all love the old school, you know, platformers, and the reason for that is because they have a sense of nostalgia. But do we really, really love them like that? I mean, I say that because, you know, we have different perceptions, right? When we're a kid, we perceive it a certain way versus now, you know? So that feeling of nostalgia only comes in when we think about the game, how it was when we played it back in the days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nowadays, we just play the game and we get enjoyment from it, but, like, it's not really, you know, unless you have some kind of experience with it in the past, then it doesn't really have that nostalgia factor for you. So
right.
That's why I call this segment the nostalgia factor. I'm going to tell a story, and then I want you to tell a story. My story is for my nostalgia is you know, I remember being a kid. I was I was about maybe 10 or 11. I was about 10 or 11, and we used to go down to the YMCA. We used to go down there. Our parents used to drop us off down there. It was like, you know, Friday nights at the Y, you know. And sure, you know, we used to go down there, play basketball, go swimming, or do all these things, you know. And that was fun and all. But the highlight of that was after all that. Because after we left the Y, we would go across the street, and there was a pizza parlor there. And in the pizza parlor, the guy that owned the pizza parlor, which is this old guy, he was must have been like 90 years old at the time, right? This old Italian guy, okay? And he wasn't Mario, but he was an old Italian guy, all right? So he had, for some reason, he had in his little back room, he had like maybe three arcade machines back there, okay? And I remember being a kid and saving up my money all week so I can go in there and so I could play. He had Strider, like the arcade version of Strider.
Yep.
He had the arcade version of Ninja Gaiden.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's then he awesome. Had a, and then he had a shmup, which I love shmups too. I don't know if you guys know. I don't want to get into shmups, but that's a whole other game category. but he, and he had a shmup in there. It must have been like, you know, Aero Fighters or something like that. But I remember, like, as a kid, I look forward to that Strider game. And the Ninja Gaiden game was hard, but the Strider game, I mean, it just blew me away. I would save my quarters all week so I can leave the Y on Friday night and go play Strider, you know?
Yeah.
Until I ran out of quarters, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I mean, that's the nostalgia for me, for that game, for a side-scrolling platformer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one story I got.
Yeah. So, I want to talk about, like, my perception of when I was a kid versus, you know, me playing now. So, I bought Mega Man 9. And I am not ashamed to say that Mega Man 9 is hard, man. Like, that is a difficult game.
Yes, Mega Man 9 is hard, people.
So, you know, one of the things when I played Mega Man 9 is I went back and I was like, Mega Man 2 obviously is a favorite of many. I know that it's my favorite Mega Man game, but I know I'm not alone in that fact that most people like Mega Man 2. And some people that hear that go, no, Mega Man 3 was way better. Mega Man 2 is the one everybody likes because they made it easier. And, you know, I don't remember it being the easier Mega Man, but, you know, it's my favorite one. So I went back and played it again. And, like, the thing that really disappointed me is when I was a kid, this was my thing, is I loved playing Mega Man, no weapons. That was me and my cousin's thing, is we would play Mega Man 2, what? Mega Buster only, and
really?
just do the whole game, all the Wily
like
levels.
You can't
everything.
Use like any of the bosses, any of the like acquired boss weapons.
None of them. You can't use
so
any of them.
Every boss you had to beat them with just your Buster.
Yes, just the Mega Buster.
Wow, dude,
that's awesome. You were allowed to use the bonus.
That's incredibly hard.
Like in Mega Man 2, it was the
especially Mega Man 2.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Especially Mega Man 2. So like you were in terms of when you had to like be a level with a certain thing like. In Mega Man 2, they had the 1, 2, and 3 ability, the red suit. The red and white suit. So, like, if you needed to climb something and there was no ladder, obviously you can use
the ability.
But you were not allowed to use any boss weapons because obviously Bubble Man.
Those aren't really boss weapons. Those are like extra.
Right.
Yeah.
But whenever you could make a jump without them, you weren't allowed to use them. So it was only if the game required it. And obviously, Dr. Wily was, you know, Bubble Man made him super easy. So when you play it with just the Mega Buster, it takes a lot longer.
Wow.
And I remember as a kid that I would come home from school and I would put on Mega Man 2 and I could beat it Mega Buster only before dinner time. Like, that was my thing. I could do the whole run.
Wow.
And
dude.
I went back, and I will say, playing the game.
That is hard.
Yeah, it was pretty hard. I could do it as a kid. And then, so I went back, and I played Mega Man 2 once through, regular way, the way everybody plays it, with the weapons.
Now, you're talking about now.
I'm talking about now.
Today, yeah.
Yeah, today. Like,
as an adult, right.
Yeah, as an adult, yes, definitely. And that was fine. I was okay with that. Everything was good. You know, that was a good experience. And I went back, and I tried to do it Mega Buster only, and I couldn't do it. And it was very disappointing. Like, it was very hard. And I was like, wow,
Not strong in the force.
Like, I really was, like, better at video games as a kid. And that kind of, like, was an eye-opener. But, so, the thing is Mega Man 9 really was much harder, though. Because Mega Man 2 was obviously much easier than Mega Man 9 and some of the other ones.
Yeah. Well, as a kid, I think, like, you're doing it so many times, right? Like, you know, it's like repetition, right? It's like muscle memory.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know where all those power-ups are. You know where all those enemies are going to come out, you know?
Yeah.
Although I hate respawning, but, I mean, all those games did it. You know, they still kind of still do it in some respects. But you use the respawning to your advantage. You know what I mean? So, like, you can, like, you had that memory, you know? So now you trying to play that now, it's like it has to come back to you. I'm sure you can do it. It's like riding a bike. I'm sure if you played it enough, you would get back to that level.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just finding the time to do it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Is the thing, you know? And as a kid, you have, I don't want to say you have nothing but time, but you have a lot more time than, you know, having to go to work or whatever it is. You know, you had school, but.
Yep.
Well, that's a good story, man. So I have one more story, nostalgia. And it's a simple one. It's just basically like I had the NES, you know, as a kid, and I had, you know, Mario, and I had, you know, Mega Man and all that. But I remember, like, you know, Christmas rolled around and I really, really wanted the Super Nintendo. Like, that was coming out. You know, Super Nintendo was just coming out. Like, that was a Christmas that it was coming out, and they had the ads on TV. And it's funny because they also had the ads on TV at the time for Sonic, and they always had this ad where they showed, like, Sonic the blast processing. They would have, like, Mario, like, going really slow, like, in the lava stage, and then they would have, like, Sonic flying through his things, and it's like, oh, blast processing, you know, blah blah blah, blah,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to sit there and be like, oh, that's cool, but no, I still want Super Nintendo, and I still want Mario.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I didn't care, you know, about the blast processing, you know. So my parents, you know, like, they got me because I didn't know at the time, but they bought me the Super Nintendo. And at the time, it was like $200. You know what I mean? Like, when it came out, it was pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I was going to get it. I'm like, oh, there's no way they're going to buy it for me. You know, it's like $200. Like, whatever. I'll just deal with my NES, which is fine. You know, I was really down and, you know, whatever. And then Christmas morning came around. And it was almost like I felt like the kid from Christmas Story. You know? Like, when he wanted the Red Ryder gun and the parents waited to the last possible second to give him the gift, you know? Like, so all the gifts were gone, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I didn't get it. That's all right. You know, they probably couldn't afford it. And then, you know, my mom is like, oh, you know, like, we got one more gift, you know? And I'm like, really? Could it be? Could it be the Super Nintendo? You know what I mean? And it was. You know, I opened it up, and I just remember, like, hooking it up. And we had that, at the time, we had that big TV in the wooden box. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yep.
Like the color TV, but it was like a huge, heavy tube in a wooden box. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'm searching around the back of that thing for, like, AV jacks or whatever it was, that or RF switch or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, to get the game going. And, you know, my dad had to help me with that. And then we got it going. And then we turn it on, and then the color's off, so we had to, like, fiddle around with it. But basically, we got it going. And then I sat there and played Super Mario World with Yoshi for, like, you know, the rest of the day. You know, it was amazing. So,
yeah,
that's my nostalgia story with Super Mario World. You know what I mean? Getting Super Nintendo for the first time, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I hope you guys have similar experiences like that, too. You know what I mean? But
yeah, the Super Nintendo Christmas story. I got mine for Christmas, too. And I remember being super excited. I don't think I had any doubts, though, for some reason that Christmas. I just, I think I was pretty confident I was getting it. So.
You jerk.
So, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know if I was so young. I don't remember if it was, like, the first year it came out, or maybe it was the second year, and I had waited for a really long time. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I definitely got mine for Christmas, too, and I remember opening it. It was amazing, and setting it up with my dad. Yeah. So, that is
definitely. Wow, look at that, huh?
Yeah.
It's happening all around the city, around the world, you know?
Yep, that's right. I hope a lot of people had that experience. It's a good one.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to get into our next segment. Pretty much, we're just going to talk about some of the examples of some of the great platforming examples.
Recommendations.
All right, so we're back. So basically, we're going to talk about some we're going to give you guys examples of some of the great games, the great platformers of all time. I'm going to briefly just touch on them briefly, just to give you guys an example of, you know, some of the great platformers of all time. And in future shows, we're going to be covering these platform series, if you will, in greater depth. So, but right now, we're just going to give you a brief touch on some of the greatest platforms of all time. So, Tom, take it away.
Yeah, so we're going to start with Mega Man, because Mega Man's my favorite platformer of all time. Obviously, he has a ton of games. I mean, the original Mega Man series was 1 through 8. They've added two more onto it, so he actually has like 10 dedicated games, not including the ones we didn't, the extra ones that Mega Man has that we didn't get that were Japanese only. But just talking about the core games, 1 through 10, they're amazing.
Yes.
I recommend anybody to play them, and we're going to be covering them in quite a bit of depth. We'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Mega Man, number one on my list, I would say.
Okay.
Mega Man 2 specifically was like my favorite game of all time for a very long time. And may still be my favorite game of all time. I go back and forth now, but
now hold on. Well, a quick question is Mega Man. I'm a huge Mega Man fan too. I played all of them. I've beaten a bunch of them. All that. But just correct me here. Does Mega Man 2, is that the one where not only do you fight the 8 bosses, but then you have to fight the old 8 bosses, or is that Mega Man 3? Am I confusing that with Mega Man 3?
Oh man, you're testing my memory now.
Because there was one where you had to fight like the 8 bosses that you had in the game itself, right?
Right.
And then when you get to Wily's Castle, you're fighting like another, before you get to Wily's Castle, you're fighting these other dudes that are like ghosts of the old bosses from the previous game. I think it is Mega Man 3. I think it's Mega Man 3.
I think it is Mega Man 3. I don't remember it being in Mega Man 2. There's obviously the Wily levels.
Because Mega Man 2 is like Woodman, right?
Woodman, Flashman, Quickman, Bubbleman.
I'm putting you on the spot.
did I say Quickman and Flashman? I said one of them. Yes. I can't remember. And then Heatman. Is that 8? I wasn't counting. Is that 8? Heatman.
Yeah. Nah, close enough.
Close enough. Yeah. First Wily boss was the big pink dragon. Yeah, so.
Okay. All right. So then it's Mega Man 3. So Mega Man 3 was the one, to me, that was like the hardest one, because it really, for lack of a better term, it didn't piss me off, but it really got me upset that it was kind of cool, but it got me upset that now, like, I just beat the 8 bosses. Now I have to fight, like, Woodman and Flashman, like, back-to-back in one stage. Then I have to fight, like, so it's like you have to fight each of the original ones, each of the ones from the previous game.
Yeah.
Like, and that's even before you got to the castle.
Yeah.
Then you go through the castle, and then you have to, fight like the 8 bosses again. So that's like, so there's 8, 16. So that's like what? My math is 24 bosses. Like
yeah. So
not counting like the rock demon, not counting like the, you know, all the other stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. So okay, so you're saying you didn't like that? That's what you're going with. You're saying it wasn't...
Well, I'm not saying I didn't like that. I'm saying that it was tough. It was like really, really hard.
Okay.
For me.
Like, so here's what I love about it from a design perspective, and I'm going to try to provide this whenever I can. And before our viewers or listeners kill me, Airman and Crashman were the other two. So, I think that's eight.
Crashman
now. I've been going
and
through
Airman.
It.
Correct.
Yeah.
He had the fan. Yep.
Oh, jeez. And Metal Man. Oh, my God. That's
Metal Man.
Be,
oh, that metal, that metal disc was like the awesomest weapon, the best weapon of all time.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It was so much fun. So I think we've got them all now. I don't want anybody to be super mad. I do know them all. I just didn't count. Okay, so from a design perspective, this is what's amazing about it. When you're first encountering the bosses, right, what you're doing is you're going through a level and you're fighting through everything, and the goal, basically, in terms of like resource management, your resource is your life and your different abilities. So when you're going through a level, the objective is to get to the end of the level with as much resources left, life and, you know, different weapon abilities, to be able to then defeat the boss, right? So the way Mega Man introduces the second set of bosses, you should never look at it. I mean, I'm not saying you are, but in general, when people play these games or play newer games that have this kind of mechanic built into it, don't think of it as like reused content, right? There's a very easy way to look at it and go, they didn't want to make another boss, so they just made me replay the boss again, right? Mm-hmm. So, but the thing about it is now you're managing your resources in a different way. The thing about Mega Man was, is the way I believe it worked is you beat the Wily levels, and then you had a stage where basically it had a way to port. You'd start in the middle and jump.
Yes, and then you go into the, you teleport, and then you go into the boss. You fight another boss again.
Right. So the thing is you're not playing a level. So your first encounter is guaranteed to be at full life and at full weapon. So
if you get there.
Right.
Some of them, you play a level first, and then and you get the teleporter. But later on, they changed that. They just gave you the teleporter, and then you're fighting. Right.
And then some of them, they did, you know, you'd play a level and play four, and then play another level and play the other four. Like, they tried a different way.
But
your goal is then to, like, not just play a level and keep your resources, but keep your resources of life in between each battle, so you have to pick which ones you're going to fight first. Okay, which one am I good at? Okay, let me knock these three out because I know I can beat them really easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, okay, which one do I need to have full life for? Okay, I should do that one next. Like, it was a different way of perspective of being able to play the bosses in a different order. So it is a different game mechanic. It's not just a repeat boss. And it's one of the things I love about Mega Man, so...
Yeah, see, guys, this is what I'm talking about. Like, when we go to talk about Mega Man, like, we are going to, like, deep coverage. Yes. Deep. Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, awesome. No, that's awesome. So, one of the ones that I want to talk about, like, one of my favorite series of all time is the Castlevania series. You know, Castlevania had quite, has gone through some twists and turns in its history. So has Mega Man in a way, but like Castlevania has gone through, like, you know, different people running, taking control of the series. So it originally starts off, you know, 1, 2, and 3. You know, you had the Belmont clan, right? And then I will when we get into Castlevania a little more, I will find the guy's name. I forget his name. I used to know his name, but I forget his name. But the guy that did Symphony of the Night. So he took it over, but he took it over like for. They gave him a shot with the TurboGrafx first, with a game called Dracula Rondo of Blood. And he hit that out the park. He created another Belmont. They kind of told him, all right, this is what they told him. They must have told him, hey, look, we're going to give you the Castlevania franchise, right? But you still got to stick to a Belmont. So do your game, but make sure it's a Belmont. So he said, all right. So he did his game, but it was a Belmont, right?
Yep.
But he knocked it out of the park. So they said, all right, you did a good job. So here, we're going to give you more free liberty. So what he did is he said, all right, I'm going to make my game now. So what he did is he changed the format from being a Belmont, like, got to get to the end of the stage, beat the boss and all that, to now I got to explore this whole castle. And I'm not a Belmont anymore. You know, I'm Alucard, right? So, and then he added RPG elements to it. You know, you can get different spells and, like, different armor and, like, all this stuff. So, so he made it more Metroidvania. That's where the Metroidvania comes in, you know, that term Metroidvania. So then that was the tried and true formula for, like, a lot of years, you know, even going into the Game Boy Advance, you know. Then, you know, like, that formula kind of died down. And then so Castlevania, the Konami... went ahead and said, "Okay, we're gonna take the reins out of your hands and put them in to this other person's hand. We're gonna bring it back to more like the Belmonts again, but it's gonna be 3D and it's Lord of Shadows, and you know we're gonna kind of give you the origins of Dracula. You know, we're gonna kind of shift the focus and give you the Orange of Dracula. Which, let me tell you, those are good games. I played Lord of Shadows and Lord of Shadow 1 and 2, and I have them, and they're really good games. But I mean, they're obviously not side scrollers, you know. But my love for Castlevania started with the original three, even Castlevania 2, folks. I know that game, you know. Watch Angry Video Game Nerd, and he kills that game, but I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Symphony of the Night, obviously. Symphony of the Night is like the still to today the pinnacle of like Castlevania success. So if you haven't played that, definitely check that out.
Yeah, and for all you Castlevania fans, I believe I saw something on the internet where they're making a new Castlevania game on Kickstarter. So I think it's already funded. So I don't think you can fund it now. So you can't get in on any of the perks or anything. But
are they
going to
call
it
Castlevania?
That's a good question. I remember.
I mean, I don't know if they have the rights to do that. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'd have to go look it up. But yeah, I definitely saw that. You know, the creator, the guy you're talking about, or I mean, I don't know which guy it is, but yeah,
he wears like a cowboy hat. That's the thing. He has the cowboy hat on. I'll get the guy's name.
Yeah.
I apologize for not knowing the guy's name. I know somebody out there is screaming right now. It's this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you dummy. You know, but
right.
I'll get the guy's name when we do our deep. And I'm doing air quotes right now.
Right.
You can't see that. When we do our deep series coverage, I will definitely have the proper info for you.
Yeah. And I just want to talk about the thing you mentioned with the RPG elements. That's something we're probably going to talk about a lot. You guys will look forward to hearing, you know, all the RPG elements that we're going to talk about in different games, introduced into. Like, because if you look at, like, the Mega Man X series, and it's like, okay, it's still a side-scrolling platformer. It's still combat-based. It's still, you know, the game we know and love. But then they introduced the fact, okay, you got to find these heart things to fill up your life bar and that kind of stuff, which is an RPG element.
Yeah,
like finding an item that sticks to you definitely is an RPG element. So,
right.
Like, even Mega Man introduced that kind of stuff into their games. So.
Later on in the game, yeah. and I hope you'll give me a chance to talk about this when we do the Mega Man series, but, like, basically, like, even Mega Man, like, Zero and Mega Man ZX and Mega Man Advent, those three are so RPG heavy,
yeah,
and very Metroidvania as well,
right?
Like, believe it or not. So, yeah,
yeah. And there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And some of our favorites have done it the right way and introduced small elements and not changed the gameplay. Yeah, and have not changed the gameplay mechanics in like its entirety. But there are some games out there that have just like completely reworked their game to be RPG focused, which didn't work out. And we'll talk about those too. The next game we're going to talk about Mario. So
okay.
We kind
Mario.
Of already did this, so but we want to just recognize, obviously, it has a great ton of, you know, Mario Brothers 3 probably the one I've played the most.
My God. Yes.
That was, you know, one of my favorites.
Countless hours.
Yeah. we talked about Yoshi earlier. Yoshi was fantastic addition to Super Mario World.
Mario World, yeah.
Yeah, and all the different color Yoshis and the different things they could do. That was all fantastic.
And let me tell you, Mario 2, I mean, I love Super Mario Brothers 2.
I know. So many people don't like it. It's so different.
You know,
because
it was a whole different game. But, I mean, it was, I love Mario 2. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
I mean, the idea that the four characters and having the different abilities and, like, it, you know, just being able to choose, okay, do I want to jump higher? Do I want to float?
Right, totally, with the, you know, picking stuff up. And,
right.
Yeah.
So that was fantastic. That was a great addition, and I wish they had carried that over into some of the other games. And they have kind of now.
Well, I mean, in Japan, they made Super Mario Brothers 2, like, that would resemble Super Mario Brothers, like, 1.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like... Yep. But here we got a whole completely different version.
Yeah,
can get more in depth on that later.
Yeah. So Super Mario, definitely one of the greats. We'll probably skip over the Mario Brothers series originally with the pipes in the
we could touch upon that, but I mean, you know, that's you know, that I always associate that more with like Donkey Kong for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, because Donkey Kong, you know, like kind of. Was in line with that whole type of thing, you know. And I love Donkey Kong. Don't get me wrong, but I mean that I kind of put them in that bracket. I don't put them in the same bracket as Super Mario Brothers for some reason.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's the whole, you know, still on Atari thing. You know, starting with Super Mario Brothers, it was NES only, right? It wasn't Super Mario was not available on Atari, and they wanted to make the NES system and differentiate themselves. So,
awesome. You want me to take the next one?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So the next game. Honorable mention, you know, that that I want to talk about is the Metroid series. Little side note, guys, and you guys can shame Tom.
Yeah, you're going to shame me.
Because he has never played Metroid.
I have never played
Metroid. But that's going to change. That's going to change because I'm going to get him playing Metroid and he's going to love it.
I have played a little bit of Super Metroid.
And that's one of the best ones.
I know, I haven't played it all the way through. I have never played the original Metroid. But yeah, so I will.
Okay, yeah, well, the original Metroid is very hard. It's a very hard game.
Yeah, like, yeah. Okay.
So I mean, it's tough. But yeah, so Metroid, you know, that whole series, you know, I remember, you know, like, you know, again, full of stories, but being a kid and getting that game, and you're playing through the game, and then you beat the game, and then you realize that, like, this whole time, your hero was female. Like, when she took off her helmet.
Right.
And you know it was a girl.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, mind-blowing. Like, holy crap.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Like, this is... Like, it was awesome. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, this works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Samus, and then you could put the codes in and play with her without the suit on and the whole deal. So, yeah. So, Samus is one of my favorites. You know, Metroid 1, Metroid 2, Return of Samus, Metroid 3, Super Metroid. Lots of people kill other M. Nowadays, but Other M is really good game. I mean, if you could put aside some of those cutscenes, which are tough to watch, yes, I understand. Like, the gameplay mechanics on that are amazing.
Yep.
Like, with just a Wii remote, like, it's so, like, intuitive and so, like, you find yourself doing all kinds of acrobatics that you're like, I mean, it's amazing.
Right. I love the Nunchuck Wii remote setup for some of the games. I know this is a little off topic, but, like, Super Mario Galaxy and stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, but you know what though? In Metroid Other M, you don't even have the nunchuck. It's just the bar.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's like you're playing with an NES pad, but like it's amazing.
It's
like the stuff
different.
You could have her pull off is like she's flipping and doing this little like side thing, and like it's really well done. The gaming mechanics on that are so well done.
Yeah.
You know, and I encourage people not to listen to everybody out there who is killing that game and really give that game a chance, because like I like that game. It's a good game, well done game.
You know, I know what you're talking about with the sideways, because you know what, Donkey Kong Country Returns, that also it used the mechanics of the Wiimote a little bit differently with the roll and that actually when you get like Diddy Kong and you shake the controller and it rolls on your back,
everything. So, they use every single function on that thing.
Yeah, I really like
to make her move, you know.
Yep.
So Metroid Other M, and then the whole Metroid Prime series is just hands down. I mean, you know, those aren't side scrolling platformers, but I mean it's a great series, you know, all around. So So definitely Metroid. That's my contribution.
Yeah. So when I go back and play it, though, I know Samus is a girl, and I've known that for a while. So it's interesting to go back to the nostalgia factor. Like that's something that like you could experience as a kid. You know what I mean? Growing up with the mainly male focused main characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was like brand new. I mean, sure, we had Peach.
Yep.
You know, Peach is awesome.
Right.
You know, but like,
she doesn't shoot a gun.
Peach was like kind of a. She was a first secondary character, right?
Right.
And then she, in Super Mario Bros. 2, you can play as her, but, you know, Luigi was always tops for me, you know what I mean? But,
right.
So, but Samus was, like, the first, like, true, like, heroine, you know what I mean? Like, you know, outright. So,
Awesome. So, yeah, so there'll be some differences. We'll see. We'll have to talk about my experience first time playthrough as opposed to your experience many years ago and see if it at least matches up a little bit. Yeah.
Awesome.
The next one on the list is Contra, which is oh my god, I played so much Contra as a kid.
I love Contra.
so fun.
Run and gun, baby.
And then this we can really talk about power-ups, because power-ups were such a huge portion of Contra.
Yeah. Machine gun, my favorite. And the spread.
The spread was my favorite. The laser was a good one. I loved using that laser gun.
The laser was tough for me, man, because I would get killed using that laser, because it's like, it's got that delay.
Yeah.
So, God.
And if you mash the button, it doesn't work so well. It's like...
No.
I remember that. Man. The annoying sound of trying to figure out between... Because you're used to just mashing the button versus timing it. And I love the laser, though, man. I'm just saying.
It was super strong. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you come up to that wall with the laser, it's like three shots, it's
three
down.
Shots,
you know what I mean? Like, you know.
Just got to do it right. Yep. But I really like the idea, again, going into design, look deep coverage into design, is like... Again, power-ups in the same position every game. You play through level one of Contra, and, like, they pop out. You know, it's not like Mario. I mean, Mario's the same way that the power-ups are in the same position every time in the terms of, like, okay, you go up to the blocks, and you know it's the middle block, right? You know the star's coming out of the middle block. You know that the firepower plant is coming out of the left block or whatever and that kind of stuff. But Contra was a little different in the sense that, like, some of the power-ups were from killing guys. Like, I really like the idea of having a targeted enemy where it's like, okay, I killed him, and I know he's going to drop a power-up, and it's going to pop out. And, like, that whole concept and design behind that, design decisions behind which enemies are going to give you power-ups, timing in the level, like, I love all that stuff. And Contra provides all of that. Yeah. Front to back, it's just really solid in the power-up realm.
Yeah, and the music for Contra was amazing. Yeah. Like, you know, Super Contra... Like, Contra was awesome, but, like, Super Contra, like, I spent so many hours on Super Contra, you know? And especially, like, there's just the one boss battle with that mechanical spider.
Yeah.
Like, the music for that boss battle, like, I would just run through the stage, get to that boss battle, right? Almost beat him. And kill myself so I can start the stage over again so that I can listen to that track again.
Yeah,
like,
right?
I love that track.
Yep,
like,
yep.
It was amazing, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's Super Contra was awesome, too, you know?
Yep.
So
the other thing about Contra is, like, the different angles you could take the platformer. Now, I know it breaks our kind of platformer rule in terms of, like, level two of Contra.
Yeah,
like,
I know. You're kind of going forward. And
yeah.
You try to do some 3D. You know? It was still fun, though.
Yeah, it was still fun. And I really like how, like, you get... the up and down too. It's not just left or right, but they had those stages where you had to climb.
Right.
Which, you know, there's a lot of platformer games, one of which I'm going to talk about in a minute, Bubble Bobble, which is one of my favorites.
But and then you can reprimand me because I never played that one. But go ahead.
That's okay. That one's not as it's on my list, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's one of the greats. Definitely a fantastic game I recommend people to play, but yeah, it's not a requirement. But like the idea of going up and down. Ice Climbers is another one. Kid Icarus, like, they all had those games. But I feel like Contra really did the best job of that kind of climbing level and killing enemies as you go and that kind of stuff. Obviously, it was a little newer than some of those other ones. So
I got a question for you. So do you think that, like, because Metal Slug is, like, one of the best games, you know, I love Metal Slug, the whole series.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you think that Metal Slug, kind of, the guys that created Metal Slug got their influence from Contra, do you think? You think maybe that could have been something that might have happened?
Yeah, I mean, my guess would be definitely. I mean, so many of us have our influences from these games we played. I mean, you look at Kickstarter, and there's, you know, you look at right now, there's, like, at least 10 games right there where they're like, I loved Zelda, so I'm going to make a Zelda game. Like, there's literally 10 groups of people out there right now just trying to make Zelda games because they
loved
Link to the Past.
That let me tell you, side note here, Okami... If anybody's ever played Okami, play Okami, because if you love Zelda, it's like a Zelda clone. I'm not kidding. Like,
oh,
the
yeah?
guys that made that game are, like, huge Zelda fans.
Wow.
Like, they have dungeons, everything. It's awesome. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, that's a whole nother...
Yeah, that's not side-scrolling platforming.
So I would guess that, yeah, anybody that's, you know, because it came out... When did that game come out? I don't know. But the point is...
Which one?
Sorry, Metal Slug.
Metal Slug?
Yeah.
Wow, that's SNK, right? So that's the Neo Geo. So when the Neo Geo debuted, that was one of the games for it. You know?
Right, right. So I would guess that, you know, again, you play these games and that's
90s?
One of the...
Late 90s.
So they must have played a ton of Contra. Like,
right?
That's what I like about the video game industry is basically if you're making video games, you enjoy playing video games. There's a lot of jobs you can get out there where... You know, you're like, I don't really like doing this, but somebody's going to pay me, so I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And but video games is one of the things where it's like, yeah, okay, you're going to pay me to do this, but I'm when I go home, I'm going to play video games. Like, that's so I would assume that the guys that made Metal Slug.
Yeah, I mean, hey, the guys that made Metal Slug could have just been thinking, okay, I love Contra, but they don't have enough vehicles, so I'm going to put some vehicles in this because Metal Slug is awesome with the vehicles.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Yep.
So it's like, you know, and I'm going to put some quirky characters and because it has a similar storyline. You know, you're going against the aliens and then. But it's a little more quirky, you know, but it works, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, all right.
Yeah. And so I'm just going to finish off my list here with Bubble Bobble because I love Bubble Bobble.
Right.
And, you know, I know Contra has a multiplayer mode, but I think the big thing for me with Bubble Bobble is I played a lot of video games with my cousin, right? He'd come over a lot of weekends, and, you know, when you got two people, you got to play a multiplayer game, and you get games like Mario where you have to take turns, and taking turns isn't as fun. So, like, the original games like Contra and Bubble Bobble...
Taking turns isn't as fun.
It's not as fun. I play
You're like, die so I can go.
Right, exactly. So, like, I, you know, all my memories of Mega Man are coming home from school and playing Mega Man by myself, but my memories of Bubble Bobble and, like, Contra are playing them on the weekends with my cousin and sitting there and just the two of us going through and playing together and those type of games. So, yeah, I definitely think there's a solid place in my heart for multiplayer platforms.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, because Bubble Bobble gave you that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Awesome.
If I made a platformer.
And our next topic is going to be if we made a platformer. So we're going to talk about what we like about platformers in terms of, you know, what mechanics we would use and that kind of stuff. So I'm going to set us off because I kind of have this little way, again, from the development standpoint, I divide platformers into three different categories. The first category is puzzle platformers. So any kind of side-scrolling platformer, again, primary jump mechanic. Primary mechanic being jumping, and the goal is to complete some kind of puzzle to unlock a door, get to the next level. So that's the first one. The second one is what I call obstacle-based platforming. This means that something gets in the way, or some kind of like long jump, or double jump, or wall jump, or that kind of thing is really the primary mechanic. It's so in terms of puzzling, it's even though you are jumping, it's more to jump to find things. This is more like time-based. You want to try to get through the level within a lot of time. You know, even old school Mario had like a time limit on it where the music would pick up if you were going to run out of time. And then the third one is combat-based. So this is kind of like, you know, the object is to kill enemies, like Contra, Mega Man, that kind of stuff. Your goal, generally, it's ranged combat in terms of using guns. A lot of the more modern ones use swords, that kind of thing. Actually, some of the older ones use swords, too. But the goal...
Swords are good.
Yeah, is to complete combat to kill enemies as opposed to just jumping over them or trying to get through the level. And to kind of clarify in terms of how I justify, because obviously there's some crossover, right? It doesn't have to be clear cut into one particular category. A lot of obstacle-based games have enemies. A lot of combat games have obstacles. A lot of puzzle games obviously have obstacles built in, or even sometimes enemies, where there's a particular, you know, key or something you have to unlock to destroy the enemy to get to the end, that kind of thing. So the way we look at this is obviously we're looking at primary mechanics. Mario is a big example of an obstacle-based game, right? We've talked a lot about how there's a Goomba right off in the beginning of Super Mario Brothers, right?
Your first obstacle, the Goomba.
But it's an obstacle. You can jump on it, and you can land on it. In Mega Man, when you encounter an enemy, if you jump on the enemy, you take damage. So that's kind of the difference between obstacle and combat. So, if I were to make a game, I think right now I would focus on the combat-based. Obviously, most of my experience in playing platformers is in the combat era. I've played, obviously, a lot of Mega Man in my days. Personally, I think that puzzling games are just... I like playing them. I'm not sure I'm smart enough to make one. I mean, I could probably make 10 levels, but those puzzler games, man, the people that play them, they're like 100 levels or 150 levels of puzzling.
Takes,
and it's like
quite a bit of,
I'm not sure I could do that. Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of obstacle games out there. Like I feel like there's just a lot of people that enjoy playing Mario. Again, we're talking about, hey, I played Mario as a kid. Did it influence my game development? Yeah, sure. A lot of people have influences from Mario. So if I were to make one, it would definitely be combat-based. And I think... My take on making a game for combat would be not just making the enemy stronger. A lot of games, when they make a hard mode or whatnot, they increase the health and the damage of the monsters, right? I wouldn't want to do that. I would want to make it more hack and slash and just make a ton of things to kill. Okay, you play it on normal mode, and there's three things per room or per box or square, whatever pixels.
Yeah.
And then you get on hard mode, and now there's 15 in one room. But they're all the same. It's the same life, the same damage.
It's so satisfying to slice through them.
Just to slice through them, yeah. So that's... that's my spiel on if I were to make a platformer.
Do you get gold coins after you kill them?
Yeah, right. See, and that goes back to the whole thing is like, again,
loot. We want loot.
The loot. The Contra. I would definitely want to implement something Contra based where, okay, there's a certain enemy and I'm going to kill him and he's going to give me a power up. or something along the lines of I kill an enemy and it gives me mana towards using my abilities, but like a special ability, not just like, you know, Mega Man obviously has its weapon bar where you can use up the weapon. It would be like a special ability that I always have but can't use until I kill that particular enemy. So those are the things I would focus on if I made a platformer.
Wow.
What about you?
Wow, that's... That is a tough act to follow. All right. So basically going off your line, I think if I made a platformer, I think I would follow the same type of deal. I would follow a combat-based platformer. I like that. But I would do it more, if this is even possible, I'm not the techno guy, you are.
Yeah.
But I'm all about story. So like I would have the story influence the combat in some way.
Okay.
So basically, like, you know, level one, you don't have everything that you have in, like, level 10. You know what I mean? Like, there's a gradual buildup. You can't get it all.
Right.
You know what I mean? You have to go through it to progress.
Yeah.
Like, for lack of a better example, like Metroid, right? So Metroid would be the perfect example of a type of game that I would like to make if I made a platformer, where you're exploring and you're fighting, but you can walk into a room and get a power up and have that be part of the story and not fight a boss, but then you might walk into another room and fight a boss and still get, and might not even get a power up. You know what I mean? So,
So,
combat based, but exploratory, I guess is what I would do if I had to, you know, make a platform, if I made my own platformer. So,
yeah.
I think that's, I don't know, I'm not the tech guy, like I said, I hope that kind of covers it, you know, but
yeah.
I think that's the direction I'd go in.
That's something that I feel like obviously wasn't as available back in the day, the exploration kind of part of it, you mentioned that, so like I feel like newer games definitely, there's a whole genre of people out there that just, they love having a world to explore or a level to explore and being able to choose their own path and progress their character the way they want to. And I definitely think that can be incorporated. And combat is really the best way to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, having an obstacle-based game where like you progress the jump, it just isn't as fun.
No.
It can be done.
Yeah.
And I'm sure somebody could make it somewhat fun, but obviously it's way more epic on a level of combat where you actually increase your skills and can kill different enemies and that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
I'm on board for that.
All right. We're going to get into a little thing here called Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire! Pew, 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 pew!
Okay, so Rapid Fire, this is what's going to be like, all right? So we're going to go back and forth Rapid Fire style. And we're going to, this week, because we're talking about platformers, we're going to give an example of a title of a platformer that we played at one point in our life. And we have about maybe 20 seconds tops to say why it's good. And then we're going to go back and forth that way. So it's almost like we're trying to convince each other and you that to try these games out. You know, it's just, so it could be any obscure game from any, you know, time period, but here's the catch: it has to be from the same console.
Okay.
So, for example, I'll go first. We're gonna limit it to the NES. Okay, and my game for Rapid Fire is Codename Viper.
Okay.
So here we go. Codename Viper. Put the timer for 30 seconds.
All right.
Okay.
30 seconds. Go.
Go. All right. So, Codename Viper, a game developed by Capcom, starred. It was a military style game, and the mechanic for that was, you know, besides the whole run and gun and jumping through platforms and all that, is the main character in that game had this little ability to, like, go in and out of doors. So, you'd be running, and an enemy would be coming towards you, and then you would push up on the joystick, and you would have to. The door would flip around.
Time.
All right. The door would flip around, and you could like escape the enemy for a second. You know, and and that's what made game unique.
All
so that was a unique factor for that. So go.
All right. So all right, we're gonna put 30 seconds on the clock. My game is gonna be A Boy and His Blob. Or before I start, have you ever played A Boy and His Blob?
Once or twice.
Once or twice. Okay. All right. 30 seconds on the clock. And
go.
All right. So A Boy and a Blob is about a boy who has a blob, right? Surprise. So it's kind of a puzzly based side scroller, but also kind of obstacle. Again, switching over to different genres. But the main objective of this game is the boy carries around jelly beans, and he feeds the jelly beans to the blob, and the blob changes shape into different objects that he could use, like a ladder to climb up onto a different platform, or I'm drawing blank on all the other things because I remember using the ladder a lot. The umbrella was another one.
Five, four.
But it was just really cool changing the blob into different stuff and completing a level. Boom.
Right, awesome.
30 seconds. Good.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Ready? Okay, one more for me, one more for you.
Okay.
All right. Because this is pretty cool, but could get old.
So. Yeah.
All right. So my next game is going to be Little Nemo, the Dream Master. Sticking with a Capcom theme here. All right. So 30 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
Go. All right. Little Nemo, the Dream Master. A game based on an old anime of the same title. But basically, Capcom took it and did a side-scrolling platform game about it. And basically, the main thing with this is that the kid wakes up and he's in a dreamland. And he can feed candy to little monsters. And then you kind of put them to sleep, and then you take over their power. So it's almost like Mega Man.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool because like you can get a frog suit, you can get like a bee suit, you can get like these different suits. So it was pretty cool. So it was almost like Mega Man, but you can get suits. So
yeah,
Little Nemo, Dream Master. Check it out.
That's awesome. Cool. Yeah, that sounds fun. I think I'd play that. All right. So for my last one, this is probably a fan favorite, probably included in the greats for a lot of people. But I'm going to do Kirby. And I'm going to do, obviously, original Kirby's Dream Land from NES.
All
okay,
right.
So ready? 30 seconds, and go. Okay, so Kirby's Dream Land. Amazing gameplay. The idea that you can suck a guy in and absorb his power and become that power and then use it against the same guys and the same enemies is amazing. Having the second power to then shoot away the enemies and blow guys up was great. The map mode of it was one of the first games that did that. I know Super Mario Brothers 3 did that as well, but having the map to roll around on, and I'm out of time. All right.
All right. I love Rapid Fire. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So that was Rapid Fire. Next thing we're going to do is we're going to give you a game rating system. So we come up with a game rating system, and basically, we're not going to do it this week because we're not really talking about a specific game. But in the future, when we're talking about certain games, we're going to have a game rating system. So our game rating system goes something like this.
The Jumpman's game rating system is as such. A subpar game gets a pitfall because it's so bad it falls into a pit. An average to good game gets a dash because you should run through it. If the game is a must-play because it is platforming genius, then it gets a jump because you should definitely jump on and play it immediately. If both hosts jump on a game, it gets the highest rating possible, a double jump.
So that's our game rating system. Hopefully, it'll make more sense when we're actually doing a game. We can't really do it for platforming. I mean, we broke down a lot of games already. Do you want to take us out on what we're going to be doing for our next episode?
All right, guys. So here's the plan. Here's the plan on the next coming weeks. We have seen the date for on the website for Mighty No. 9. The release date for Mighty No. 9 is September 15th. So what we're going to do is we are going to play all 10 of the Mega Man games leading up to the release of Mighty No. 9. So we're going to do one a week, and we're going to talk about, again, that deep coverage of each Mega Man game, 1 through 10,
So our first series is the Mega Man series.
Yep. That's the first series is the Mega Man series.
Right.
We're going to be starting with Mega Man 1, obviously, first, and going through them just in numerical order.
Right. So, I mean, every week it's going to be like, in-depth coverage of Mega Man 1. Everything that there is to be said about Mega Man 1. So when we move on to Mega Man 2, you know about Mega Man 1. So,
right.
And then Mega Man 2 and like that. Okay.
Right. Yep.
Sounds awesome. Up to 10.
Up to 10.
Right.
We're gonna
can we talk about some other stuff like in-betweenies or, Mega Man X style, or will we have time for that, or what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll have time to, you know, really
touch on.
I know that
things.
I am definitely going to like describe game mechanics and how it relates to like other games and how it influenced some of the stuff that we played.
Okay.
And, you know, again, the now versus then, you know, kind of. I'm forgetting the word. Oh, nostalgia factor.
Nostalgia factor.
Yeah, okay. Drawing blank for a second. The now versus then nostalgia factor is definitely going to be big in terms of playing the game as we were kids and now, and we'll talk about that as well. And sound and music and bosses and individual minion fights and mini bosses.
Yeah, yes,
and,
mini bosses.
And the Wily levels.
I love mini bosses. Oh. I know lots of people hate them, but I think mini bosses are the best.
I think if done right, I think they're amazing and sometimes better
like
than
that telephone guy in Mega Man. I call him the telephone guy. He hops in right before you get to the thing. Like, if that guy hits you, he's like, that's like a quarter of your energy is gone. Like,
yep,
but I loved killing that guy. Like,
because
he was so hard, but it's a mini boss.
Yeah, you know what I
mean? Yep. So, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad when they're challenges, when they're just annoying and they take time. Like, if they do almost no damage, but they have a huge health bar, like, those are the ones that annoy me. It's like, you didn't, like, that we need more than that. But, yeah, when they're hard and they provide, you know, a decent challenge, but not the full challenge that the boss provides, yeah, mini-bosses are amazing, so.
Awesome.
We'll be talking about all of them. Yeah. All of them. Every single one.
We're going to touch on them.
Yep.
All right. Awesome. So, you want to try and wrap this up?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. So, you know, I just want to thank all the listeners for listening to the show. This is episode 1, the platform special.
Yes.
We will be coming back to you next week featuring the Mega Man series.
Yep.
So episode 1 is in the can.
Yeah, definitely. And if you guys want to find us on Facebook, you can go in facebook.com/thejumpmenpodcast. And this is your hosts again. My name is Tom Bishop, a.k.a. Mighty Bub. You can follow me on Twitter, @MightyBub.
And my name is Junie Valentin, a.k.a. Breakman. And you could follow me at BreakMan0 on Twitter. See you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. Next week on Jumpmen...